another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful and wintry Southern California. Hey, I'm so glad you could be with me tonight because we have a great show for you in store. I just read a fabulous new book called Dancing on the River, Navigating Life's Changes by author Mark Sesnow. What an empowering book. So stay with us because Mark is going to be sharing some really great insights just for us to know when major life changes come our way. It's great. And it's right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com. You know, because of you, we are now heard in over 120 countries, and we're syndicated through 25 internet radio stations, not podcasts, but radio stations. So I can't thank you enough for letting us into your homes and into your car stereos. For those of you who are not yet listening to my show on your smartphone, just go to my host page on loaradionetwork.com and click the Stitcher icon. And voila, you got my show and all my past shows right there on your smartphone. And remember that Stitcher works with all new Ford Autos or any auto that has internet dashboards. So get the app and listen to me through your car stereo on the way to the office or on your way home. And while you're there, sign up to get the update from us because we have got new exciting events happening every single week. You don't want to miss out. The best is yet to be. And speaking of that, I've got some really exciting things to tell you about. Have you heard Melody Green's new show, Creative Soul Cafe? Oh my gosh, it's so good. Melody is broadcasting out of Sydney, Australia. And truly, you feel her in the Creative Soul Cafe. And it's the place where the doors are always open. She's right here on Law of Attraction Radio Network. You're going to love, love, love it. Also, great news, starting the first week of January 2011, we are going to have a brand new show broadcasting from Singapore. That's right. The Art of Manifesting show will be premiering from Singapore with talk show host Gaia. Gaia is a clairvoyant, Reiki master, certified angel intuitive, a sacred contract consultant, tarot reader, life and business coach, international trainer, inspirational speaker, and an incredible performing artist. She is going to be interviewing some of the most highly sought after Indian gurus and speakers. And here's something that's never been done before. Gaia will be recording 2 shows per month in her native language of Tamil. We're going to have these on separate media players so that the listeners have the option to choose the language of their choice, either English or Tamil. So pass the word for us, will you? The Art of Manifesting show is starting in January, and we are truly touching the world. And I even have better news for you all. This is a major announcement, and I am so thrilled to be telling you about this. Law of Attraction Radio Network is launching the University of Attraction on December 1st, 2010. This is so incredible. you will have access to so many online workshops from experts from all over the world, including Gaia's 12-week workshop on the art of manifesting. Now, these are all interactive. So not only will you get to know the faculty member, you will become friends with all of your classmates. There's going to be Nana Cash's Magnetic Wealth course and relationship expert Lisa Hayes' course, and Constance Arnold and Larry Michaels' Inner Genetic course. So many things from so many people, literally experts from around the world. Remember the red jeweled box from our Law of Attraction radio cruises? Well, each week I will be having an intention class where we put new desires into the red jeweled box, and then we all together energize the box vibrationally. This is extremely powerful, and I can vouch for the effectiveness of the red jeweled box, as can many others. There are so many things that you can participate in, as well as receive free downloads of my best-selling hypnosis MP3s. And I forgot to tell you the best part of all. Everything in the University of Attraction is accessible to you for just a small monthly fee of $11.11 per month. Each month you will get hundreds of dollars in ebooks, hypnosis CDs, free access to the best interactive workshops for just $11.11 per month. This is terrific. Are you looking for that perfect Christmas gift? Buy a person who really needs to be uplifted a 3 or 6 month subscription to the University of Attraction. So be on the lookout for the University of Attraction launching on December 1st, 2010. Don't forget to sign up for our update so you won't miss out on the grand opening. This is going to be so much fun, and I am so looking forward to it. Now, let's talk to Mark Susnow, author of the book Dancing on the River, Navigating Life Changes. Mark Susnow has had a unique and varied career involving multiple transitions. A former trial attorney for 30 years, Mark has been covered by the New York Times, Rolling Stone Magazine, the Boston Globe, and the San Francisco Chronicle. In 2000, inspired by the new millennium, Mark sought a new career and trained to be a life coach. Since then, Mark has worked with over 1,000 people, helping them find joy and meaning in their life, regardless of their circumstances. And here's something that you all want to do, and Mark has accomplished this. He spends 6 months in Marin County and then the other 6 months in Hawaii. How is that? Mark made the successful transition from the trial attorney to life coach, so he knows exactly what he is talking about. I love his book, because it reminded me that there's nothing more important in this world than empowering myself and nurturing myself first and foremost to get me back into the center of the river. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio, Mark.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
First, I've got to tell you that I thoroughly loved your book, Dancing on the River. It was so insightful, and it was exactly what I needed to read at the right time in my life. Really, really good stuff.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that it was meaningful for you.
Your book started out with a really profound story that has to do with the title of your book. Let's talk about that story.
When I was 13, my uncle took me on a rafting trip on the Green River in Colorado, and the Green River is a tributary of the Colorado River. And the river guides let us know that if we wanted to swim alongside the boat, we could do that to get a different experience of being in the raft, but to do that in the first day or two, because as the trip progressed, the rapids became more challenging. and a more higher type level of the rapids are classified class 1, class 2, class 3, class 4, and the more challenging ones would be later in the trip. So I was swimming alongside the boat, and I started to notice that the current was picking up, and I sensed that I should really think about getting on the boat. And just at that instant, there were these yells about get back in the boat, get back in the boat. So I eyed an angle. I felt that if I swam at this angle, I would get ahead of the boat. And so I started swimming in that direction. And all of a sudden, I just got exhausted. And at that point, there were the more yells, stay in the center, stay in the center. And so I focused on staying in the center, and there was a point when I felt that I could die, that I was going to be crushed by the boulders, I'd be swept under the water by the whirlpools. And so I tried to keep my feet up, and the current just swirled me around and propelled me right through the rapids right behind the boat. And on the other side of that, there was this calmness. The water was still again there. There were these eddies. And so I started to relax in the stillness. And then I noticed one thing. And that was the raft was still ahead of me. So I all of a sudden, I went, oh my God, I can't go through this again. I might not be so lucky. And at that moment, just as the raft was getting away from me, my uncle leaned over, extended an oar. I leaped for the oar, was pulled back onto the raft just as it went through the rapids again. With everything swirling around, with all the world, all the events in the world, they're swirling around, there's all this information coming at you, you have to maintain your center so that you're just not swirled around. That whatever is happening, you have this idea of this detachment. So there's this calmness, this centerness, so that you're also in the moment, yet at the same time you're detached. I realized from that experience later on, my uncle had always said to me, this experience of being on the river is something that is going to become more important to you later in life, something that you'll think about later in life. And I remember that, although I didn't understand exactly the role it would play in my life.
You know, I've noticed that we don't like change very much. And often the universe has got to throw something down our throats in order for us to change, like losing a job or losing a house or losing a loved one. Those are changes that we will fight tooth and nail not to go through. And eventually, we all have to go through it. So the timing of your book is absolutely perfect. And with that, you have developed a morning program that I think everyone needs to really understand because it works. So let's talk about your morning program.
Well, the morning program is essential for you to have to develop that sense of self, that centeredness. And I started meditating when I was a trial lawyer, when I was in my 20s. And I remember before that, I'd rush out of the house to get to the courthouse or for an appointment. And I start out that feeling of being in a hurry. I would be in a hurry the whole day. And I'd have that feeling of anxiety is that I couldn't get it all done. And when you have that feeling of anxiety, that you can't get it all done, you always are in a hurry, it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And so I began meditating, and that was my path, was meditation for many, many years. Of course, I took a lot of workshops and talked to counselors and therapists, and I did everything. I read books, and eventually I got into affirmations and visualizations. And today, at the morning program that I talk about in my book, start your morning out with your form of meditation. And everybody has their form, and there are many different ways to meditate. But I think the important thing is to do it. And if you don't already do it, just take 5 or 10 minutes just to sit silently and notice your breathing. And after you do that, what I currently suggest is to start to focus on what you're grateful for. So on the river, I was grateful for the oar that my uncle extended to me. I was grateful for being on that trip, being able to be in nature. So focus on what you're grateful in your life rather than focusing on what isn't working. Focus on your health, on the love in your life. And maybe the love that's in your life isn't exactly the way you like it to be. So some of us focus on that their relationship isn't exactly how they want it to be, or they don't have a relationship, or they want to be out of a relationship that they're in. So rather than do that and have your focus over there, focus on being grateful that you're in the relationship and for what it's taught you and for the love that is in your life. And other things you do to focus. So we focus on, after we meditate, when our mind is calm and still, we start to focus on what we're grateful for. And you can actually integrate the idea of the law of attraction into this practice in the sense that you start to focus on qualities you want to cultivate for yourself. So let's just say that you might think that you're too serious. And so what happens is you go through life thinking you're a serious person. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that think that. So what we'd really like is to lighten up. We'd really like to lighten up. So what I would suggest is start to focus, again, what we focus on, expand. So start to focus on being playful. So you meditate. You express gratitude for the love in your life, for your health, for your abundance. Then you start to express gratitude for these qualities. So in our example, you begin to focus your gratitude on being playful. And you start to notice that there are some times when you're playful. It might be with an animal. It might be with a friend. Again, perhaps not the frequency you'd like to be playful, but you start to notice there is a certain playfulness about you. So you start to notice that, and you start to notice as your focus is there that you're playful in more situations that you realize, and over time you begin to notice you're a much more playful person than you thought you were. And then that just adds to the whole thing. Or let's just say you think that it's difficult for you to make friends, which a lot of people feel that way. So what I would suggest in that case is start to express gratitude for your ability to connect with others. And over time, it's not going to happen overnight, but over time you start to realize, wow, I really have this great ability to connect with others. And that's how we can use gratitude to start to expand what we really want to expand and cultivate what we want to cultivate. And after we focus on the gratitude, we introduce another aspect of the morning program, and that's to wonder. We start to get into this curiosity, start to wonder what the highlight of your day is going to be. So you're looking for that highlight, and you start to wonder, I wonder what the highlight of my day is going to be. So you look at your day. You look through your day in the morning about what you have to do, the different appointments you have, the different places you have to be, things you have to work on at home, let's say, the different responsibilities you have, and you scan it. It takes just a few seconds to do. And then you start to think, I wonder if it's one of these things or which one is going to be the highlight. And then you say, perhaps it's going to be something that right now is not even in my consciousness, something I'm not even thinking about. There might be a nice surprise. So you're going through your day. You have that calmness for meditating. You're really focusing on the qualities you want to work on. And then you're curious about what the highlight's going to be. So you're setting your day up so that you're going to have a good day with developing this curiosity.
You know, the big message that I got from the morning program is that your life just gets so much calmer, so much smoother, so much easier to ride the river if you can discipline yourself into taking 15 minutes in the morning in which to nurture yourself with meditation. If you don't, you're sending a message to the universe that you're not worth the 15 minutes. And if you don't think you're worthy of taking that time to get yourself centered, then that is the message that you're sending out to everyone you meet. And guess what happens? You then allow in more chaos. So I really, really appreciated the message in your morning program. Very, very worthwhile. A big lesson for me to learn.
We make ourselves last. And as long as we do that, we're never going to have this sense of peace. And we have to, when we say yes to the demands of the world, we're really saying no to our soul. And when we say no to the requirements of, let's say, our careers and other thoughts that come to us, we're saying yes to who we are, to our being, to our core, and to our soul that needs to be nurtured. We nurture everything else but our souls, and our souls need to be nurtured. They need to have this time of going inward, of just sitting and being honored.
Mark, I took your 30-day challenge to meditate just to see what would happen. And here's what I found. My life became so much calmer. Every single day it was just so much easier. I found that I didn't have to react to life. It was okay. Truthfully, I just didn't feel the need to react. That was wonderful.
When we're in the middle of the river, we want to have this feeling that we're dancing on it rather than struggling in it. And this idea of dancing and struggling is really an attitude. It's just a shift in attitude.
Yes, I found that I was very empowered by reading your book. It really put me into another attitude, and it was very good.
That's great. That's the idea. And to give, also to, it's like giving you permission to take care of yourself. Quite often, people don't take care of themselves because they have this idea that they would be too self-indulgent. They have this belief that they would be too narcissistic. But the reality is, unless you take care of yourself, you can't really give to others. For example, when we're on a plane and they're in the beginning of the flight, they go over all the safety precautions and talk about the gas, the oxygen mask. And what they say is, if you're with a child, put the mask on yourself first before the child. And unless we really take care of ourselves, nurture ourselves, we don't have a lot to give others. And quite often in relationships, we're with people who are so involved in themselves because of their pain and this idea that their vessel is empty, they don't have much left to give over to give to you, because they're so involved in survival, and quite often we're involved in survival when we don't take time to nurture our soul. And we get on this treadmill of constantly running and not making any progress. Mm-hmm. What's interesting, what I found from the work that I do with as a life coach, mm-hmm. is people feel that when that what concerns them now is resolved, that then they'll be happy and they'll be relaxed, and they have this idea. Oh, I wish if when this goes away, then there'll be clear sailing. But it doesn't work that way, because what's going to happen is that this feeling of only if, or this feeling that there's a reason why we can't be happy, that's not going to change, really, when this problem goes away. And there'll be another problem coming up. This is the biggest problem that I see with working with people, as they postpone their happiness. And what really, and for example, I've been a lot of people that I work with as a life coach, we have like a ongoing relationship, a long-term relationship, and they find that coaching for them is almost like a necessity in terms of supporting them, helping their business grow, and helping them navigate the challenges that come up in growing a successful business or in a career or a job. And with one of my clients, we talked about when his resistance to begin working with me was financial. And 5 years later, he's become very successful financially, but he still has that financial concern, and that's always there. And what we talked about is that unless he commits to this internal program, he's had resistance to doing that, that he's always going to have that feeling of uncertainty. So we start to develop this idea that the unknown, the uncertainties about the unknown, is start to become more comfortable with not knowing. And that's the challenge. It's how do we become more comfortable with not knowing where the river is going to take us?
Now that's very profound. I like that. You mentioned money, and a lot of people get involved into the law of attraction because they want more money. And what I've discovered after practicing it for so long is that the desire for money almost ceases to exist. Now, I'm not saying that there is anything wrong with having money. Money is great. But the desire for money just sort of goes away.
Exactly. Because what happens then, let's just say that you think you need money to be happy. How much money do you need? Mm-hmm. Where do you stop? If you think that money is the answer, how much money do you need to be happy? And everybody has a different number. And then you go, well, if your number is, let's say, $10,000, another person might have $10 million. What happens if your number is $10,000, right? And you only have $9,000, or with a person with his number is $10 million. What happens if he only has $9 million? Then he has all this concern about maintaining that number. Mm-hmm. He has all this anxiety about getting to that number, and that becomes the new target, the new standard. So again, his focus, right, is going to be on maintaining that number, and he'll be concerned if that number is down. It's a trap. So it's this idea, again, that we can't postpone our happiness. And that's why I say dancing on the river is really an attitude, consciousness that's a reflection of a decision you make to be happy in the moment.
Absolutely. And I think you become conditioned to the fact that if you don't think about money, money then flows to you. When you're always thinking about money and making that next $1,000, then you're thinking about the lack of it existing. So it's all about monitoring your thoughts.
You have to have the right tools, and then you have to let it go. Do the right, have the right principles. And then you let it go, and you create a vessel for it to come into. One of the classic books on prosperity, Catherine Ponder book,
oh, yeah.
Catherine Ponder talks about the dynamic laws of prosperity, and one of them, she talks about creating a vacuum, where when you're worried about, let's say, prosperity, is to give things away. Even, for example, let's say you think, well, I don't need money to give someone a gift. Give them a flower. You give someone a flower, this idea of giving, you create room for more to come.
That's so true. Because how many times have you given away clothes only to have more clothes flow into your closet?
I do think that the law of attraction sometimes gets overused, and people think that all they have to do is visualize what they want and it will come. That's part of it, but there's a lot more to it. Not that simple. We have to also to keep working on these things.
Yes, and always follow the rule that if you're doing something and you're enjoying it, then everything comes together. If you're not enjoying it, then it won't come together.
Yeah, that's great to get to that place. If that idea of making it fun. And so what I talk about a lot is enjoying the journey. To get to that place where we look at life as an adventure. So there's a story that I write about in the book, and it's a favorite story of mine. And I remember when I was in my 20s, so I'm going back a ways, and a friend of mine told me about a swimming hole. And in those days, I loved to find swimming holes where you could just jump off the rocks into the water, which I just love to do that, and I still do. And that was one of the attractions for me being in Hawaii. Well, this swimming hole was in Northern California, and I remember getting there, and it was dark, and so I camped by the river, and in the morning I wanted to find the swimming hole. And a couple of people told me that the swimming hole was upstream a couple of miles. So I started walking toward the swimming hole, actually in the river itself. And I was getting hungry, and I got to this point where I just wanted to get to the swimming hole, but I was hungry. And there was a camper with his girlfriend, and he said to me, would you like some coffee? And I said, no, I just want to get to the swimming hole. And so I continued. And I went about another 20, 30 yards, and I realized how hungry I was. And I stopped, and I thought about going back to the camper. And so I turned around, and I went back to the camper, and I said, I would like that cup of coffee. And they were eating breakfast also, and they gave me some breakfast. And he said to me, you know, the journey you take is probably more important than getting there. And that was something I always have remembered, is that enjoy the journey. The journey, there's so much potential. So often, let's say we're going to go on a vacation. We haven't been on a vacation for a while. So we're really looking forward to being at this place. It could be Hawaii. This summer we went to Peru. So wherever it is, we have this idea that wow, I'm going to be on vacation. And rather than waiting to get to your destination to be on vacation, begin it the moment you make that decision. So for me, as soon as we were on the way to the airport, the vacation began. This idea of enjoying the journey. And ultimately, we make our life about that, of enjoying the journey of exploration. And that's really what this idea of enjoy the journey, make it fun. And again, that's your decision. That's really what dancing on the river is this ability to enjoy the journey.
Great story. You wrote in your book about the common misconceptions about forgiveness, and I think this is something that everyone needs to hear. Let's talk about that.
I think one of the most common misconceptions about forgiveness is if you forgive somebody, there's really two things. One is if you forgive somebody, you think that you're letting them get away with what they did. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Is for example, someone might have done something to you, and you might not even have seen that person for 10 years. Yet every time you think about them, you get angry. You get mad. And, of course, that affects you in everything that you do. So this is idea that if you forgive somebody, you're really letting them get away. And the other is when you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that you have to be their best friend again, or to even be their friend. But letting forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about you. You're forgiving for you. Because when you don't forgive, you stay stuck in the past. And when we stay stuck, the river is dammed up. And we prevent ourselves from having new relationships and being open to new experiences, because we always go back. Whenever we think about that person, we have a lot of anger. Very common.
You know, I really think this bears repeating. The act of forgiveness is not about the other person. The act of forgiveness is about you being able to release yourself from the anger that blocks you from going forward. Again, it has nothing to do with the person that needs to be forgiven. That is very, very important. Mark, you're an executive coach. Do you see businesses now shifting their attitude to be more consciously aware of being more ethical?
There's definitely that trend of this whole idea of becoming socially conscious, of thinking about the environment, and also for leaders to realize that leadership is not about power, about external power. It's about personal power, and part of developing your personal power is developing your sense of values, and that to be an effective leader, we have to work on ourselves. And the more we work on ourselves and know ourselves, the more effective leader we become. So leadership is really a total holistic approach now, and I think that is the trend, and more people who talk about leadership really talk about how you can develop these qualities to be a more effective leader, to really develop the qualities inside to be that leader. So that's really, and a lot of things that I talk about in Dancing on the River are, if you integrated what's in my book, all these principles of what's necessary to be an effective leader are all in that book, including a lot of the idea with meditation. All of the people I work with who are, let's say, heads of organizations, they all meditate.
Wow.
And the thing, but you reframe it in the sense that, what does meditation teach you? When you meditate, you're more creative, you're more innovative. And to be an effective leader, we need to sense the direction of where the river's going. And we need to be ahead of the curve. And so we have a better sense of, when we have this sense of self, we have a sense of the direction where the river's going and what needs to be done. And also, we learn how to really connect with others. And that's something that, one of the principles of change in the book is to the willingness to be connected, and there's a chapter on relationships and connection in the book to give people ideas and methods how they can learn to really connect with others and be more impactful. Because we're impactful whether we realize it or not. The question, though, is are we really impacting other people in the way we want to impact them? And I remember in 1988, I was just getting successful as a personal injury attorney, and they were having these no-fault initiatives on the ballot. And I was thinking of, you know, what I would, we were concerned it was going to pass because there was another initiative that passed the year before. And we were feeling that, you know, I was feeling that there's a strong chance that the initiative would pass, and essentially would put me out of business. Just when I started to do well, I just bought a new house. We just had our second child. And so what I did was, I didn't have a clue as to what I would do. So what I did was, in TM, I went ahead and I got into the CIDA program, because I felt that whatever happened, I needed to strengthen my inner core so that I'd be able to navigate whatever came up. So I signed up. I talked to my wife about it, and she said, well, if you think that you're going to have more love to give the family, you should do it. So I signed up for the CIDA program. This was in 88. And Chopra was big at that time in TM.
Yeah.
He was like Maharishi's main guy.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, he was the keynote speaker. This was back in when I did the CIDA program, I did it in D.C., not Fairfield. Anyway, that's what I decided to do, was to go deeper into my spiritual practice, because I realized I had no solutions externally.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately, it didn't pass, and it never did. It came back, but when the same initiative in 96 came back. But by then, I'd reached a point where if it had passed, I was ready to just figure, well, okay, that was my message from the universe to, to go in a different direction. So, but having this inside spiritual practice is essential.
Let's talk about the specifics surrounding meditation. Is there a preferred method that you like to use?
First of all, there are different methods of meditation, and there is a contemplative form of meditation where you have, let's say, a spiritual passage that you really focus on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the form that I do. I have always I focus on a mantra, a Sanskrit word, or my breathing. And in that method, what happens is when you focus on the mantra, at some point there you no longer have thoughts. You're totally absorbed, and you're on the mantra, and at some point you transcend that awareness of you focusing on the mantra. So you transcend, and there is this gap between thoughts. So there's this gap, this void, between thoughts. So that's what I do to get into that state where I transcend my thoughts.
Wow.
But at some point, you go back to your thoughts. And so what it is, I look at meditation as an incredible stress technique. So we develop this ability of, let's say, in our meditation practice, from going of the world to thought, right, where our mind rambles,
mm-hmm.
to our focus of the mantra or our breath, of focusing on our breathing, whatever method we choose. So there is that shift from thought to focus. So in life, as we focus, let's say, on our negative thoughts, we have this ability to go from our negative thinking to being more positive, to focus on where we're going. What I encourage people when I coach them is to focus on their breathing. That's the simplest way. There are many articles written on meditation, just to focus on becoming aware of their inhales and their exhales, just to begin that way, just to start that way. And just start with 5 minutes, because everybody has 5 minutes. But what usually happens is that with the people I work with that haven't meditated before, we'll start with 5 minutes, and over time we'll increase the time. So we'll build it up so that ultimately they get up to around 20 minutes. But almost everybody that I've worked with has noticed a huge difference, so that, as you said, things that ordinarily would bother you don't bother you as much. Not to say that there are not going to be these moments when you're bothered and you feel stressed out. I still have that, and I've been doing this now for many, many years. And I can get centered, and I notice a difference when I'm centered and when I'm not centered.
Mark, tell everybody how they can get this fabulous book.
Just go to Amazon.com and under search, just plug in Dancing on the River. If people want to contact me directly regarding coaching or speaking at one of their events, then they should go to my website, which is inspirepossibility.com. And that's all one word, inspirepossibility.com. And also, when people go to my website, they can sign up for my newsletter, Letters on Life. It's a monthly e-newsletter. And I think that they would, as you said, they would find it quite interesting, and they can get a sense of the kind of people that, for the leaders that are listening to your program, they can read some of the testimonials from other leaders and thought leaders and other professionals and business owners to get an idea of what the benefits of coaching are with me.
And what's in the future for you, Mark? Do you have another book coming up?
Well, it's interesting you ask. When I wrote this book, I couldn't imagine another book because it took me a long time to write. But since then, I do have an idea for another book, and that's really around the power of curiosity.
Ooh.
And a little bit of this idea of the morning program, when we have that sense of wonder to be curious about the highlight of our day. Curiosity is so important and so huge that whether I could write a whole book about it, I don't know, but I do have an idea, and having an idea is huge, because it took me a long time to get clear about this foundation for this book around change. I do think that curiosity is going to be a big part of my next. But that's not in the near future. I'm still getting over writing this book and enjoying what we're doing now.
Well, Mark Susnow, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this book called Dancing on the River, Navigating Life Changes. You know, it's so wonderful. I think I'm going to buy a couple of copies and give them out as Christmas gifts to some people who will really reap the benefits by reading it. So thank you so much, and thank you for being a blessing to this world.
Thank you.
I also want to mention that Mark Susnow has agreed to be one of the faculty members at the University of Attraction. So when you sign up, you will be able to attend Mark Susnow's course on major life changes for absolutely free. So be sure to look out for the future announcement and the grand opening of the University of Traction, launching on December 1st, 2010. Well, that's all we have for this week. And I look forward to talking and sharing our energy again next week. Have a great one. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.